On this week's Investor Weekly News Update for July 24th, we're going to be talking about the latest crowdfunding website that went under. Where are people wanting to move in and out of, and what locations are seeing the biggest increases in insurance costs? First off, so we've talked about past crowdfunding websites going under, and now Nightingale Office Real Estate Investments on CrowdStreet, which was the big platform that kind of went under, they're filing for bankruptcy or whatnot. But basically, all these notes weren't proper due diligence. And this was a big surprise to myself. So I didn't know that the crowdfunding websites could go under like this because I actually thought that they were just acting in the form of a broker dealer. So what is a broker dealer, right? So a broker dealer is like a it's like a certified financial planner where they just sell you a bunch of investments and they don't, like, if it goes good or bad, they stay out of it, right? So you have a lot of people within the private real estate investing space or private placement space that will connect people with other people. And then, of course, they hide behind their broker dealer status. And it's a legal way for them to making fees, such as referral fees. And but for them, it's also that legal shield just in case something happens. And I thought that's what crowdfunding websites did, like CrowdStreet. So I was surprised when I saw this happening. Very different than when you're the syndicator operator and you're the one personally signing on the debt and leading the deals to the finish line. A lot more risk for operators that way. But yeah, I guess CrowdStreet also had some somewhat skin in the game, which made them fold the cards when a lot of these notes and deals perform badly. So one thing I always say that you never know the due diligence that's happening on these crowdfunding websites. For all you know, it's just whoever pays them the most money to put their deal up on their website. And something I've always said from the beginning is I don't know why the syndicators do that because you can only raise so much money from these crowdfunding websites that it's on the tune of $1 million or $2 million that it doesn't really make sense. Plus, the crowdfunding website, again, they're playing the role as a broker dealer. So they want the clients to come back to them, not go around them to the syndicator or the operator behind them. So if you're the syndicator operator using the crowdfunding website, it's hard to get those investors to get around your broker dealer and invest with you in the future, which is how you run a sustainable growing business where you make people happy, you grow their investments, and then they come back and they tell all their friends about it. So you get more and more business. You're seeing a lot of these things happen out there in terms of commercial real estate notes, right? Because right now, notes, then they're not super appealing to be sold because some people are like, well, if I can make 4 or 5% in savings accounts because interest rates are high, why would I want to buy a 5% note, right? And now have to deal with somewhat of a tenant in there. It makes a lot of sense. Of course, the tides will turn. We don't know how quickly, but it will turn. It's 5, 6% interest rates or where the Fed has it right now is just not sustainable for long-term business. Here's a quarterly report that came out from jbrec.com. Builders thrive in the first half of 2023, a mid-year review. Halfway through 2023, the new home market continues to surge. Despite pessimistic sentiment coming into the year, the industry has performed a lot better than anticipated. Mortgage rates took an unexpected rise to 7%. A lot of these properties are being made to renters and like apartments and stuff like that. But you got to realize this supply is going to end at some point because there's this concept of the 2-year lag. These assets went into construction, oh, maybe about the end of 2020, 2021, right? And the end of 2021 was a tipping point at that point. Interest rates are starting to come up. So you're not going to really see people going into projects 2022, and therefore 2024 is going to be a little bit of a lot big of a down period. So right now you're seeing a lot of people who, when times are still good in the middle of 2021, now we're in 2023, middle of 2023, we're starting to see the tail end of this supply bulge from projects that were started 2 years prior. Again, the 2-year thing comes from it takes a couple of years for you to throw the shovel in the ground, start to dig, and then to have a completed either single family home or apartment complex at that point. Also, builder stock prices and unexpected rise to near all-time highs, and new home sales, home builder market share is over twice the norm at this point. In conclusion, the new home market has surpassed all expectations this year, despite rapidly rising mortgage rates. But again, you should start to see the amount of inventory that's coming online start to dwindle. And because a lot of that is they shut off the faucet in the second half of 2021. Next article here, firstam.com. Builders have the upper hand in the multifamily market. And this is all stemming from interest rates are high. So a lot of the buyers aren't there in the market. We've talked about this multiple times. I think nothing says 100 words like a nice graph. You're seeing the predicted cap rate go down, and we're seeing a little slight uptick currently this past month, but generally still going on the decline, and the transaction volume, a very low period since the pre-pandemic times. We're going to get ready to roll out the next quarterly report. So if you guys would like to get access to that, check out simplepassivecashflow.com/club and join us there. The next article is just talking about the top 10 states residents want to move into and out of. So Texas was the most sought after location in the country for residents looking to move across state lines. And this is based on analysis of the Google search queries on a monthly basis from storage unit listings prior a provider selfstorage.com. Also to Texas, Florida paced far ahead of any other state. And on the opposite end, Florida had the highest volume of search queries for residents looking to leave the state of 152 per 100,000 residents. Utah ranks at the second. And part of that is verified by Texas's population rose by more than 470,000 between July 2021 and July 2022, the largest gain of any state. A large number of employers have moved their operations to Texas in recent years, including Silicon Valley giants like HP, Tesla, Oracle, and Texas major metropolitan areas have been some of the nation's most active new multifamily construction markets, and the state's pipeline reached peak highs at the end of 2022. I would also add to this, you've also got to take into account at some point, those taxes assessments are going to catch up. And we started to see this well back prior to like 2015. Pretty much all you couldn't go anywhere in Dallas without seeing a huge amount of highway construction. Someone's got to pay that bill, and now taxes for property is definitely on the rise. This is rounding out the rest of the top 10 list. Texas, Florida, as we mentioned, then California, Hawaii, Arizona, North Carolina, Virginia, Texas, Alaska, and then New York. We talked a little bit about taxes, and the other big mover in terms of expenses increases is the rising insurance premiums. And this is impacting multifamily valuations and other commercial properties, with a lot of costs increasing mainly due to inflation. This is also increasing due to catastrophic risks and locations. And they're saying like the last several years, there's been just unprecedented amounts of just super disaster events as categorized by FEMA. So essentially, a lot of these costs are passed to tenants. However, this is of course impacting housing affordability. Insurance carriers, some are even pulling back coverage in some of these areas, and some operators are needing to become pretty creative and maybe even doing captive insurance policies in some of these uninsurable areas. I'm thinking about areas in Gulf Shores or Louisiana, off the top of my head, or the southern Florida. Here's a cool chart on, some of the top areas where you're seeing the biggest rises in insurance costs. West Palm Beach, Florida, Houston, Jacksonville, Orlando, Seattle, Fort Lauderdale, Riverside, San Antonio are the top, a little bit higher, or actually a lot higher than the US average. US average is sitting right around 20% increase, which makes sense, right? Like you had a couple of years of double digit inflation, so there it is. But you know, these are some of the outliers, and these are a lot of the places on that golf course, on that Gulf Coast. There's, of course, Seattle and Riverside. I don't know why they're quite there. One thing about Seattle is you don't have huge amounts of big natural disasters happening. And I say that, and I mention, and hopefully I don't preclude that one of that big earthquake that everybody's talking about in Seattle. But now that's a head scratcher for me, and that might just be indicative of just higher costs out there on the coast. But that's the end, folks. Please share this with your friends. You can consume it on the podcast or YouTube version. And also, we just dropped the price on the Journey to Simple Passive Cash Flow, Passive Real Estate for the Working Professional book found on Amazon. The Wealth Elevator book is coming out, so we're getting ready to push that out here in the coming months. If you guys want to help us out with a review, we'll probably hook you up with a free copy, but let us know, team@simplepassivecashflow.com, if you guys want to get on that list. And if not, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.